broadcasting live from the Papa John's studios. Keep it locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So this is, to me, a fascinating story. This one, you know, of all the scenarios that played out where the NCAA could have to be forced into an overhaul, which I love.
Is it the one I think you have to do with our friends on the left coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you, all right, that answers my question then. I'm going to holler at this guy, see if I can get him on.
The California Assembly yesterday.
Is that Steve Berkowitz?
What? Steve Berkowitz, the Son of Sam guy, the guy who killed all the people?
Wait, what?
No. I don't know what you're shouting at me. What the hell are you talking about?
Sorry, I went to go pee during the break. I asked Process for something. There was dead air. I came back, so we kind of rushed back into it. But I was going to ask you during the break. Great producing, Adam. Great producing. I was going to see if you wanted to get this Steve Berkowitz guy who was reporting on that.
Yes, I'm reading his piece right now.
From USA Today.
But you do know that Berkowitz was also the name of the insane guy who was killing everybody in New York.
I did not know that.
The Son of Sam, the one whose neighbor's dog was telling him to kill everybody.
Well, I mean, that dog was a little bit of a bit. See what I did there? Well, do you want me to ask if he can come
if he
on?
Wants to come on,
and
sure.
Then ask him if he's related?
Oh, dear God, no, don't do that. The second part would be bad. I don't think you'd generally bring a guest on you've not spoken to before and then ask him, so you related to the mass murderer? I'm just wondering. Because like, we had a guy on, his last name was Ripper, and I thought he was maybe related to Jack the Ripper, and he said, no, it's like Kelly Ripper, R-I-P-A, and then he hung up on me.
We could do it. I'm sure he's gotten that before.
The guy's name was David Berkowitz, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In New York. So I don't know why I remembered that, but... Sad thing is, maybe he is, but if he does, why would he want to be brought up for that? I don't know that he would want to.
Maybe because he's like, you know what? That guy was a bastard, but, you know, there were a lot of things that were cool about him. Like, he could make a really good casserole at the family.
Nah, I don't. You lived in New York at that time. That was really. I'm amazed, in hindsight, when you think about it, how the odds, if you could intellectually talk to yourself, you'd say, look. This is a town of 10 million people. And, you know, for you to get shot, you could drive around trying to get shot and you would never find a guy probably. But I'm
still terrifying.
He was killing women who were often sitting alone in cars with long, straight, dark hair. And your mother, that's exactly how she looked coming out of high school and into college. And I remember sitting in a car with her. We had just gone, a group of us had gone out. We just pulled up in front of somebody's house. And my stupid friend, Paul, decided to jump out from behind the bushes and pretend he was going to shoot us. I think I calmed down about a month ago. It was,
did you he break your funny. Foot off between his lungs and colon?
I almost would have become the next New York killer because I would have strangled him if I could have got my hands on him. But I'm thinking, as I said, I mean, why he would be on long. But that was the thing. He was all over the place. So anyway. It was very frightening. But Steve Berkowitz has nothing to do with that. This thing that went on is yesterday, they overwhelmingly passed a bill that would allow college athletes to more easily make money off their own name, image, and likeness. It begins January 1st, 2023. And the reason that's significant is because it's going to lead to a nice little 3-plus-year battle, because this is going to be a battle. The vote originally passed at 66-0, but later was shown as 72-0 with 5 not voting. And it all but assures that the measure will go to the governor, Gavin Newsom. Because the bill was amended after it had passed the state Senate, it will have to return there for a concurrence vote that could come as early as Tuesday, according to the office of the bill's sponsor, Nancy Skinner. However, the Senate approved the version of the bill by a wide margin, and the bill's basic intent remains unchanged. If the legislation reaches Newsom's desk, he'll have 30 days to sign it or veto it, or if he takes no action, it'll automatically go into law. Now, here's why that's fascinating, because what do you do if this thing gets passed? And the NCAA has suggested, as they always do, we'll take our ball and go home. So that means, you know, you won't be eligible for our championships. and thinking they're going to call their bluff, which is players will say, well, I'm not going to go play at UCLA or USC or any of the California schools because if Stanford, because if I do, then I'm not going to be able to play in the NCAA tournament or in the Rose Bowl. But A, I don't know that that's true. B, if some of the kids say, screw you, you know what? You guys have been taking advantage of me for so long. I'm going there anyway. And now people who are recruiting against the California schools suddenly are paying the price. You know, all it's going to take is a kid that a power school really wants and he doesn't go. And the kid makes no bones about it. He said, I'm going there because I like their rule. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm going there and they're paying me and I'm allowed to get paid. And that's what I'm doing. They will go to their commissioners and say, hey, we got to do something. And then if they get one more, if they could get one more league to jump on board, the NCAA would cave. No question. There is absolutely no question because the NCAA does not exist without a national TV contract for the men's basketball tournament. If two of the six power conferences now, this is not the whole Pac-12, mind you, but I understand that. But the Pac-12 is going to have to deal with that. What are they going to do now? So you're going to have a crazy situation here. And if this is how things get overturned, this is how longtime institutions that are so out of touch with what the reality of the world is finally get changed. And the thing you have to understand is that that has enormous support in California. This was not something they had to squeeze through. Really, you know, this is an overwhelming sentiment by the powers that be that it's time for this change. And there are four members of the Pac-12 that are based in California. Now, the question is, if you want to play the they're not going to be able to pull this off scenario, okay, well, here's how you could do it. Because if the rest of the leagues don't agree with this, the rest of the Pac-12 doesn't, not to mention the other California schools that aren't in the Pac-12 that are in much lower level Division Ones. What do you do about them then? They're going to be start paying people and allowing their kids to get paid. Are their leagues going to throw them out? So the NCAA could say, go ahead, call our bluff. The Pac-12 will go down to Pac-8 again. And we got plenty of teams. You guys can get out. And then St. Mary's gets bounced from their league with Gonzaga because Gonzaga's not paying people. And, I mean, all of a sudden the NCAA's called their bluff and they lose, 20 teams of the 330, and they still stick true to their guns. But the problem I think they're going to face is if you read how this is structured, the argument that schools make all the time is, well, we can't afford it, as Billis says all the time. There's just not enough money, which I don't buy. Nobody buys. But the fact of the matter is this isn't going to cost the schools money. This is basically the kids are able to go make money off their image. They want to go out and somebody wants to say, hey, come and do an autograph show for me here. You know, we're going to pay you X number of dollars for every autograph you sign. That's going to be legal now. That's not costing the school a red cent. So their self-righteous, well, we don't have enough money argument is going to go out the window. So, and that's why I'm loving this because I've told you I've had enough of the hypocrisy that goes on right now. I mean, it started yesterday when we were talking about recruiting, why I was trying to figure out what my emotional response was whenever we fawn over these 17-year-old kids. And I don't care. I thought it was the kids. And it's not. I mean, you get a great tennis player comes up at 17 years old, and we love talking about them. And I'll pay attention to that. Or a young golfer or a phenom, that's great. But basketball part of it is we have all these people making all this money off the industry that is recruiting. And then it gives value to those kids. Again, you don't have to like it or agree with it or whatever, but the same people who are fawning over all these scouting services and making it so there's value for these kids, for their brand, so that the shoe companies want to pay them, are the first people to send me a text, oh, we shouldn't be paying for these kids. We shouldn't pay these kids. Well, you know what? Then be happy in your cesspool, because whether you like it or not, you're helping create that cesspool. Because the fact of the matter is, the kids are smart enough to know their name and their brand has value. The shoe companies obviously know that they have value, and the reason they have value is because we're paying attention to them from the time they're 14 and 15, and we're talking about them and we're blogging about them, and there's websites and all that. And that's fine. If in fact then you said, well, that's how much they're worth, then let them get paid. Okay, now they do away with the hypocrisy. Well, it's the same thing here. You've told us all along, well, you know, there's not enough money. Guess what? Not cost you a nickel. These kids can go out and make it off their brand. Because the brand that they've established is making money for everybody but them. Or if they're making money with their brand, they're making it illegally. Because they got to go out there and get the money under the table from shoe companies. And that's illegal right now. Why? Why should you do that to people? What should you do to me as a fan? Why should I have to watch this and think I'm somehow, you know, being privy to this ridiculous scenario? Just deal with the reality. Guy says this, which is interesting, but I don't think he's right, by the way. The bowl games aren't NCAA games. That's true. They're not. But the fact of the matter is, if you play for a university, the bowl committee, I guess, could fly in the face of the NCAA and say, well, we don't care. I'm going to invite this team. But the NCAA is going to contend that you're playing ineligible players then. And then you basically putting your school on probation and forfeiting and you do all that stuff. So that's what I mean. I don't know. It would take a real strong – I mean, that part of it, that's why I said this is not going to be able to exist just as an island where these schools are going to be able to do this. They're going to have to be doing this to force the hand of other schools or the NCAA. If they try and go off on their own, it's never going to work. So, you know, that's what that's about. This text says, I detest California, but I agree with you 100% on this proposal. Hopefully more follow suit. I find it ironic that the most socialist state in the union is championing free market capitalism. Well, I mean, you know what? There's no absolutes. Sometimes just common sense and logic kicks in, and you may not associate that with California very often, but in this case, that's exactly what it is. And these people have looked at it and said, this is ridiculous. They've had the wherewithal to say, this is nuts. Doesn't make any sense. And that's what most of the people are saying, but they've had the balls at least to do something about it. Let's see. The real question is when the NCAA is going to address pay-to-play in college football. Well, that's, you know, another issue. But that is the one that there's so many aspects to every one of these particular challenges that are out there that I mean, the football scenario is different from the NCAA scenario because, quite honestly, the schools have more of a vested interest in football, while the NCAA has more of a vested interest in men's basketball. The NCAA makes very, very little money from football. The institutions make money from football, but the organization itself makes all their money from the TV contract for basketball. The schools, which is one of the reasons why I've always contended, the schools, they don't like it, but they don't mind the attention that basketball is getting because it's kind of a misdirection. Fine, let's all vent our anger and outrage at basketball. That's great because that's not affecting us nearly as much as football would be. So as long as you can exercise your righteousness on basketball, we're okay. But leave the sacred cow alone because we're making our money on football, which is another bit of hypocrisy that goes on. Let's see. I mean, this is the texter hits it on the head. That's what I always said. Music scholarship students can make money on their skills. Why not athletes? Just not in uniform. Exactly. Absolutely fine. That's the whole point. Nothing about the rules makes sense. Nothing. And they keep asking you to accept it at face value, and it's just, it irritates me. You know, like I said, if you say, listen, we don't want to have a playoff in football because we're making tons of money with what we're doing now. We're afraid if we change it, we won't make as much money. I would disagree with you because I think you can always have money. I mean, you can always make as much money with the bowl games as you're making now, basically, and still just add to it some sort of a playoff. I really do, because the major bowl games would be part of the playoff. So that if anything, they would get even more important. And the minor bowl games are not going to be affected by it. The Weed Whacker Bowl is not going to be affected if the playoff goes to 8 teams. They're not going to get teams that would be in the playoff anyway. It's not like, oh, now I'm not going to watch the Weed Whacker Bowl because there's a playoff. If you're watching it, you're watching it anyway because you can bet on it. It's television in the Christmas break. You're fine. So, but they never say that. They give you the cock and bull that, well, you know, we can't do it. It's too much of a demand academically for our kids. And I say to myself, do you realize Division III's had a playoff since I was in college? What are you telling me? Division III doesn't give a rat's ass about academics? Does that make any sense at all? Are you hearing the words come out of your mouth? This is another listener who doesn't, no disrespect, but doesn't understand what Title IX means. Title IX will always stop the NCAA from pay to play. It will not, because that is not what Title IX says. Title IX, and in its most simple form, basically says that you must have a commensurate amount of scholarship opportunities for women proportionate to the population of your school as you do for men. That's all it says. It doesn't say that if you're going to pay the men's basketball team, now you got to pay the women's basketball team. It does not say that. You're allowed to invest your money in the programs that are generating the most money for you. So it's not like, for example, if you fly the men's basketball team, now you got to fly the – I mean, the men's basketball – perfect example, Louisville – and I'm not trying to tell tales out of school here because I'm sure Jeff's very happy. But, you know, when I go to the airport, the men are charter everything. I've been on so many flights with the women's team flying Southwest. Now, maybe that's changed. But, I mean, that's the way it is. They don't have to fly the women on a charter plane because the men fly on a charter plane. That's not what Title IX says. Title IX says there must be an equal number commensurate with the population. And football has always pressed the envelope there because that creates so many sports on the men's side. It creates so many opportunities to play that that's, you know, that's part of the problem is that football has been, and the people who've been the advocates of Title IX will tell you this, that they've resented that. That what has happened is you've got, you know, what are the numbers, 100 people? How many people have a scholarship in college football? Like 100? It's a million people. Okay, so that's 100 scholarships. So now you put it together and you got football and basketball and baseball and soccer and golf and tennis and da-da-da. And the women have their sports and they've got softball. But there's no sport that has 100 scholarships on their side. So you look at it and, you know, you say, man, the men now have 100 and I'm making these numbers up. They've got 190 scholarships, and they're about 50% of the population of the school, and the women have 120 scholarships, and they're about 50% of the population of the school. So rather than try and create more sports for the women, what they do is they get rid of sports. So now baseball has to go. You know, Providence drops baseball, and they drop, you know, tennis or something. And they blame Title IX. And Title IX is saying that, first of all, that's not what it says. It's not about, it's about creating opportunities. And also, there's a way that you can, I don't know how you do it, but you can account for football in a different way. Because a lot of schools will do that. So that's not what it's about. So Title IX will never get in the way of that. So how long will it be for a woman to sue the NCAA? She can sue, but she's not going to win. That's the whole point. Anybody can sue. I can sue you. You can sue me. But you're not going to win because the problem is everybody sees things like the women's national team getting pissed off that they don't get paid as much as the men's national team. And I'm of two minds about that because on the one hand, I don't like when they say, well, we win and the men haven't won, because in point of fact, there's no question it's exponentially more difficult to win on the men's side than it is the women's side. There's no knock on the women. It's not an insult to the women. Doesn't mean I don't respect their skill and their ability. But the competitive level of men's soccer around the world compared to how many countries play a high level of women's soccer is not even close. I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. It doesn't mean they're not good. It just means that and the amount of money that's generated on the men's tournament is much greater than the women's. So on the one hand, it's not apples to apples. But on the other hand, and this is where they do have a leg to stand on, is if you look at the marketing, the women are probably as profitable a marketing endeavor in this country as the men are. So if they're going to do it based on that, the women have a right to say, listen, there's probably more people that know the name of our women's players than know the name of our men's players. And I'm not talking about soccer fans. I'm talking about just mainstream fans. So, you know, I do understand their frustration. I mean, when they've got to play in, you know, in facilities where they don't even have a locker room and they got to go shower at their hotel. So, you know, that's an easy cop-out. People, you have to do a little tiny bit of research before you just want to lump it up that you know, women are just some of the cause of all these problems going on. That's not really how it's played out. It's 85 scholarships for D1 football. Thank you for that. But that's still, you know, that's a lot. I mean, how many, you know, you think about it. If you got a basketball team, men or women, you got, what, 13 scholarships? And then, you know, baseball only gets 12.7, which is a ridiculous number. I imagine softball is probably about the same. So that's the problem. So I don't know. I'm sorry. I respectfully disagree that you're obviously have a bug up your skirt about the women involved in this, but I think you're misguided in the ire there. I'm sure there are some. I mean, there are misguided people who are ready to fight at the drop of a hat about we don't get this, we don't get that. So I get that. But I don't think this is an example of that. Which school's boosters do you think will be able to pay the most to get players? Well, that's a good question. I mean, how logistically it'll work out. But the fact of the matter is, if that's what they want to do, my guess is there has to be some sort of accountability for that. But, I mean, if somebody wants to you know, pay the kids to go $100,000 to go sell their autographs, you know, 1,000 autographs at $100 a pop, if there's 1,000 people that want to come out and get that, then I suppose they should be allowed to do it. I don't think it's going to be quite that simple, because a lot of these boosters that have been given money, I mean, you know, I think it would be commensurate with what these kids would get in the open market. I really do. How do you think this would affect paying players in the non-revenue sports? They're not going to get paid. The non-revenue, I mean, or they could. They could. That's the whole point. They all can. If you got a women gymnast who's marketable, God bless her. But my point is, most of them are not. I mean, how many listeners could name an athlete on Louisville's golf team or tennis team or women's field hockey team? Probably not many of you. It's not a knock on those teams. I've gone to some of their events, and they're good athletes, and they work incredibly hard, but you probably don't know any of their names. So most people are not going to pay them for some sort of a jersey or likeness or an autograph. But if you could, I mean, there are some gymnastics programs, or I don't know, the swimming program, and you've got, like, here, there's kids on the swimming team that are Olympic swimmers, if not for our country, for their native country. I don't know, because I'm not in the swimming community, but maybe if the kids that are in swimming programs in town, you know, wanted to meet these people and they did a meet and greet and they got paid, more power to them. I mean, what skin is it off my back? Or who cares? Why shouldn't they? That's if by definition, that's what they're worth. Like somebody said earlier, you got a great pianist here and he's really good and he's going to do a concert and we're going to pay and they're going to give him some of the gate receipt or something. We think that's great. But no, but the athletes, there's something sacrosanct about this that's so misguided. I don't get it. I really don't. The Stanford women's team would probably be able to get paid. They probably would. That's a good point. And you know what? Good on you. Good for you. Are teams like the Lady Birds dance team an effort to offset the number of scholarships in football? I think they get some level of scholarship. I don't think they get very much, but I don't know. It's got to be a sanctioned NCAA sport. I don't think that's a sanctioned NCAA sport, the dance team. I don't think it is. Boosters will pay $100,000 for a single autograph or an ad. It's not about the market value of the actual autograph or advertisement. It's about how much they want to see that player play for their school. Maybe, but I think you're wildly optimistic if you think these guys are just going to be forking over $100,000. It seems like a lot of money that they're paying kids now, because the kids get no money. They get a lot of bang for $10,000. But you know what? If somebody really thinks they were worth $100,000, oh well. I mean, that's the way it would work. So anyway, it is a that was quite a remarkable game, wasn't it, last night? I mean, the Saints game was entertaining as all get out.
58-yard career long for
that makes
kicker's
a 58-yarder.
And I got news for you.
Win the damn game.
That he had enough leg on that thing to make it like 62. Well, I mean, that thing didn't exactly scab itself over the uprights. He booted it.
Well, when you play indoors, you can bust them. They're showing it right now. The Texans are laughing on their bench like they got the game won. They're ahead by one, and then Breeze leads them down the field. And here it is from the 48-yard line. And you aren't kidding. That thing is way the hell over. It goes into the stands, for goodness sake. That's an entertaining ending game. No question.
Had a crazy spin on it, too.
Listen, you know, they are nuts. I'm saying that advisedly about football in the SEC. So I don't know. They ever did that, maybe people start paying $100,000. I don't know. But you know what? They let the market determine it, because that's what it does for every other multi-billion-dollar business in this country. They shake things out, and you know what'll happen? The schools will either get together and say they're allowed to make money, but we're putting a cap on it, or we're going to oversee it, or something. Or they could say, I'm not playing left football at this level anymore, because, or I'm going to try and compete at that level as best I can, but we are not going to be privy to that. Or they could say, who cares? If Dr. Joe Jablonski, owner of this tremendous business in town, just loves LSU football, and he wants to take a kid and get him to come there, and by doing that, he's organizing an autograph session where he's making $100,000, then that's what the market says he'll make, then that's what it'll make. Because that's how it works in every other business that's worth $1 billion. And if you didn't want that, then you shouldn't have paid all attention to give these kids all this attention when they were in high school and junior high, because they build a brand and the shoe companies say they're worth that. And, you know, and once you, that's what determines what people are worth. Oh, look, Tim Couch is on. Tim Couch, Hail Mary pass TD, October 1999, beating the Saints. Saints have been involved in some dramatic endings. The Tom Dempsey 63-yard field goal, the Will Lutz one that was 58 to win the game last night. Couch beat him with a Hail Mary shot in the corner of the end zone some almost 20 years ago now. So Saints are the cardiac kids. All right, we'll take a break. Oh, wait, is that New York Mike waiting? Is that who that is? Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program. You did it again with the Raiders, although you didn't have a particularly great weekend. I think you were 2-3, but still, the Raiders got it done for you.
No, 3-1.
No, you picked Army, which was a win.
I picked Green Bay.
You did not pick Green Bay. I wrote them down from the show. You can't just change history. You picked Army.
You're telling me I didn't win Thursday with Green Bay.
You picked Army, Pitt, Oakland, Arizona, and Jacksonville. And you won with Army. You lost with Pitt. You won with Oakland. You lost. You won with Arizona. It was getting 2.5. So you did win with that. So you were 3-2, and you lost with Jacksonville. So you were 3-2. You won with Oakland, Arizona, Army. You lost with Pitt and Jacksonville. So I had you unfairly at 2-3. You were 3-2. So there you go. That's still good, but I thought it was.
Well, yeah, 2-3. I mean, I went into Thursday 16-1, so that's 17-1, and then Army was 18-1.
So you're 20-3. That's pretty good. I would take that.
3? Yeah, 20-3. Well, see, you know what? I shouldn't have gave you Arizona and Jacksonville, because after I gave you my picks, I said, do you mind if I give you two extra ones? Those weren't my picks.
Oh, come on. Now you're changing the rules. Boo.
I'm going to go by your rules because you got it on tape.
I do. That's the whole point.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying I picked 4, and then you're right. I did pick the other two, Arizona and Jacksonville, but those were two that I felt were good, but,
They
panned out to break each other.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going to go. I want to do Tampa's game with the Carolina Thursday night. But as I'm doing it here, it was 5 points to start out with Tampa Bay plus 5. I go on a computer now, and they're getting 6. So I can't understand why they're getting 6.5 within 5 hours. So I got to go. Can I call you tomorrow and do the Thursday?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, plenty of time. Wednesday's fine, so we'll do that then. And then we got some college games. I was impressed with the Army pick, though. I mean, they almost won outright.
I was watching that one. It was 21-21, and then, they. I don't know why they fumbled. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say I don't know why they fumbled. He missed it. But I thought they were going to do it, Bob.
Yeah, no, would have put an end to the Michigan playoff hopes.
But already they're giving the Raiders 9 at home against Kansas next week. That's like a kick in the face after they won last night.
Well, that's more about Kansas City than it is them. I think people are.
But I'm not picking. You know who I'm picking next? I'm going to pick the Raiders plus 9 at home. That's be crazy.
Well, that's almost a rule in the NFL. Almost any game, you got the home team getting 9 points, you'll probably win. I don't even care who the two teams are involved in the game. You'll probably win more often than you'll lose.
But I'm picking. Well, you know what? I'm really thinking the Raiders see this and they're going to say, "What the hell is this?" They're going to beat the Kansas City next week. I'm telling you.
No,
I'll have that pick on Friday.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's see. What's
it was good talking to you. Did you have a good weekend?
I was sick most of the weekend. It was the first day I'm back. Yesterday I did the show. I probably shouldn't have. I could hardly get through the show. I just had this bug going around. I had a little low-grade fever and couldn't keep anything in my stomach. But we're better today. We're bouncing back. So
I'm glad you're a good man. You should have a good feeling in your body.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. Bye. So he'll be back with us tomorrow. Mike will be back with us tomorrow.
I like it.
Don't forget our bocce tournament coming up a week from yesterday on Monday at the Castle. Open to the public. You're welcome to come and see us. We got some great celebrities playing in this. Mike Pratt has UK fans, a lot of UK folks. We've got to get a little more representation from the card side here.
Working on it.
We're working on it, but we need some other people. So, but I'm grateful he's got some really some cool people coming. He's got Louis Dampier is going to be there. He's almost an honorary. You got to love him here because he played for the Colonels here in Louisville. Yeah. So, and he's a great guy. Rex Chapman's going to be there. That should be pretty cool. Tom Leach is going to play. We got Ralph Hacker, recent Hall of Famer, Kentucky Hall of Fame inductee. So we're working. We'll see if Perrin Johnson. We got an invite to him. We got an invite to Luke. We'll see if they're going to be there. And
been talking with
Chris Redman's going to be there.
Been talking with Dion Branch's people.
Oh, that's nice. Well, Chris
Redman. Put a feeler out there.
Chris Redman will be there. Well, Chris Redman. The problem with Chris Redman is if he plays and Branch is on his team and they're at their other ends of the court, every time he rolls the ball, Branch is going to try and run and catch it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you have to tell him, Dion, leave it. Dion, leave it. No, he throws it. I catch it. He's my quarterback. So
that's
so
funny.
Check it out. KFOV.org. That's our website. We're going to have some great auction items going up on Thursday. Not many. It's a very small auction, but some really cool stuff. So check it out. And, come and see us. I don't think we have any more spots, really. We may have one more team. And I'm not saying – people say it sometimes. I mean, it was like 10. I really got to check tonight. It's probably going to be close. We might have, it's a 20-team event. We either have 19 right now or 20. I'll check it out. But going to be a lot of fun. So what else? By the way, tomorrow I'm going to bring some stuff for We Want to Know Wednesday that will blow your mind. Absolutely blow your mind. I was watching a show, Paul Hollywood. That's his real name. He's a guy in England. He has two great passions. He's a baker by trade, and he loves cars and racing cars. He's on that show, The Great British Baking Show, which is that contest that's tremendous, one of my favorite shows now. I've binged watched it. But he also has a show, Paul Hollywood's Continental Road Trip, and he goes through the continent. And I think he's only done three countries. He might have done more, but I've seen just three. He's done France and Germany and Italy. And he basically takes a week and he sets up a tour of the country and he goes to the auto factories and he gets to drive legendary cars and he tours some of the factories. And this is unbelievable. Here's just a handful of the – I'm saving the one big fact for tomorrow, though. There is a car wash in Germany – it's illegal to wash your car at home in Germany. They said it's an ecological issue because all the soap and everything gets in the water system. So you have to go to car washes. There's a car wash there that cost $30 million to build. A $30 million car wash. They can do 60,000 cars a month. It's unbelievable. You've got to see this thing. That is a serious car wash. $30 million. Can do 60,000 cars a month. That's the first
one. That's crazy. Okay. I mean, I'm assuming that's crazy. Like, you don't have to be like an expert in football to know that, wow, he threw 100 touchdowns a season. That's got to be really good, right?
Right.
You don't need to be an expert. I'd like to know, though, what the average, our friends at Mike's
visualize
car wash. Like
to,
I know,
could
but
they
I'd
be
just
a million
like
dollars, maybe? Maybe.
I'd like to see how many they could turn
certainly
out.
Ain't $30 million.
No,
and they're not cranking out 60,000 a month. This thing is
like maybe
unbelievable.
2,000 cars, maybe?
I don't know. And it's maybe fascinating to see. Also, Germany has, this is fascinating and a bit creepy. Germany, you'll like this thing. You don't have to answer all the phone calls. All the phone calls don't have to be answered because you're like part of the show, and then I start talking to you, and you're on the phone getting spam calls. Germany is among the leading countries in the world for nudist groups. That's absolutely the truth. And the reason is because Germany was divided for so long that the people felt that for a long, long time, every time you walked, you were defined by what you were wearing. That guy was an East German, this guy was a West German, that guy's above me, this guy's below me. There was a caste system.
So I think I see where it's going.
Got rid of all of it. You know what? You walk out there and everybody's equal. And
everybody's equal.
He went to a place, he went to one of the, there's a bunch of them, it's like 200 or something, of these nudist camps, basically. And the guy was explaining. Another byproduct. Did you know why the Autobahn came into being? The Autobahn came into being because after they overthrew the Nazis, the people were so hungry to have freedom from all of the absolutely overwhelming, suffocating, totalitarian
I never can say that
supervision
word.
That they said, you know what? They associated speed limits with the Nazis. So they said, screw you. We'll go as fast as we want to. And that's how they got rid of that's how the Autobahn came into being. Now, about, I don't know how many years ago, there's only about half as many roads now that allow you to go as fast as you want as there used to be. They've eliminated about half of them that for various reasons. They put, I imagine, safety. They also, there's stretches of road there that'll blow your mind that basically were built just to try and set speed records. There's a road there that's got like a 14 mile straightaway because the Germans were hell-bent to create speed records. They owned a whole bunch of land speed records for a long, long time. And then a guy who was a very beloved driver there was killed there. The car went, as you can guess, this was in the 1930s, and the guy was doing like 275 miles an hour or something.
What?
You have no idea. I mean, this was the Hitler thing. They had to be the best at everything, and these guys were, and you know, German engineering. It's a fascinating thing. They also, when you buy your car, you know, Carvana here, that's what it's called? That's the big giant
vending machine.
That's based on how they sell the cars in Germany, because they give you the car with no miles on the odometer at all, not a mile. It's stored in you think Carvana is big. Carvana looks like a little gumball machine compared to this thing. This thing is like 25 stories high, and each story's got like 50 cars on it or something. And you push the button, and the thing comes, and you watch it go, and it gets the car, and it brings it down, and then it just angles up, and the car rolls out. And when you get in, it has no miles on it at all, zero.
That's pretty strong.
But I've got a factoid
about... Do you think
about,
it makes the new car smell last longer?
I got a factoid about Volkswagen tomorrow that will absolutely blow your mind. I'm so jazzed up about We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday.
One of my favorite... No, it was probably... That and the car that I'm driving now. It's 1 and 1A. My favorite cars to drive. But it was pretty much my first car. Volkswagen Beetle 2000 Turbo.
What about it?
It was one of my favorite cars.
Yeah, well, it's a great car.
So much fun to drive.
Yeah.
It's like driving a go-kart. Except that damn spoiler would come up once you hit 100 miles an hour. And it wouldn't go down. So when you parked, then your parents would see it the next morning, and you'd be grounded. Good times. And then Jamie's little punk ass would narc on you and be like, oh, yeah, I was in the car, too. It was fun. We got it up to 120. Thanks, Jam.
Yeah.
Tacking on a couple extra weeks.
Yeah, nothing better than having that $7,000 a month insurance payment. Gotta love that. We're doing a V-Stakes. That's what we're doing.
You want to do it now?
Well, I'm going to set the table, and then we'll take a break, and we'll do it right through the top of the hour.
PJ is with us.
We can go to Fort Erie. You want to go there?
Oh, he's in the back. Okay, sharp.
Fort Erie, it's too small a field. That's a very small field. We don't want to go there. A lot of small fields. I was thinking of going to England. UK Kelso. They are running the longest races you've ever seen in your life.
Today's V-Stakes is going to be 15 minutes.
The last race was 2 1/8 miles. The race now is 2 7/8 miles to go just under 3 miles. They're running a furlong short of 3 miles. You can go get yourself a ham sandwich. We're not going to do that one. How about we just do a little 2-miler one? That's a short race. That'll go off at 2:10. We can do that if you want.
How long would a 3-mile race be? Like time wise,
well, it's kind of about 6 minutes.
Oh, okay, never mind. I kind of wanted to do one.
Well, a mile race. Yeah, no, a mile race is just under 2 minutes.
Right.
So if they go 3 miles, it'd be just about 6 minutes.
6 minutes of horse racing.
There's a pit stop. They actually come in. A guy changed two outside shoes. Just change the two front side shoes. Go!
You're going to take about half a bag of oats.
Half a wedge, you can think in a horse's mouth, turning in its head, goes, okay, off you go. I don't think we want to go that far. I like the V-Stakes, but that's a little overkill. How about we go to, I'll find another track here. I'll do that here in a moment if I could get out of this, which I'm having a dickens of a time doing here. All right, well, we'll figure it out. I'd like to give you the field, though, if I could figure out how to do that here. The app is acting all wiggy. If I hit that, I should go back to the main menu, but it's not going there. So I have to see if we can figure that out. Twin Spires. All right, here we go. Here's the options that we can go to at twinspires.com. Well, we could go to parks. We know that. Fort Erie had a very small field, and it was a very bad race. We could go to Finger Lakes. That's interesting. 18 minutes from now. Let's see.
That sounds delicious.
How that would be. Finger Lakes is the guy you like. And away they go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so why don't we go there? How about that? It's a sprint, too. It's only 5.5 furlongs. So we'll do that. The betting window is now open for the V-Stakes. It's the third race at Finger Lakes in New York. And it looks like a good betting race. There'll be four horses that you can pick from. And if you don't like any of these four, you can take the field, which are three long shots that are 15-1 or higher. So the horses that are eligible to be taken are the two horse, that's Joe Mooch, 6-5. The four horse is Thirsty Donnerstag. I think I knew him in high school, 5-2. The five horse is Deficit Hawk at 7-2. The six horse is Malbec at 5-1. Then the other three are long shots, Just Economics, Tchaikovsky, and Margarita Sunrise, 1, 3, and 8 collectively. So send us either 2, 4, 5, or 6 or field. 2, 4, 5, or 6 or field. So this way, you know, if a long shot wins, somebody will probably win because somebody will probably take the field. But these are really long shots. The other three all look like they have reasonable chances to win the race. Joe Mooch is the 2. Joe Mooch, I don't. That's the 2. He's the favorite right now at 7-5. The 4, Thirsty Donnerstag, is 5-2. The 5, Deficit Hawk, is 3-1. The 6, Malbec, is 5-1. And if you don't want any of those four, give us the field, and good luck to you. So text it to us at 437-9680, and you will be eligible for the V Stakes coming up at, I don't know, what's post time for this? Let's take a look. I would say about 10 after, a little before 10 after, probably about 7 after, actually. A reminder that our friends at Genesis Diamonds, we're very, very proud to have them as sponsors of our program. And when you think about them, you think about what we always tell you. Hey, nobody's going to beat their price, but it's so much more than that if you go there. It is the best value. You get bigger and better for less. These are real diamonds. These are not cheap knockoffs. This is stuff from the real designers. But the Genesis experience is what makes it special. It's second to none. So professional, laid-back luxury. That's how they define it. That's a good way to put it. It's relaxed and informative. You're dealing with non-commissioned experts, not clerks. You're offered a refreshment the minute you walk in. Oh, that's always good. Everybody likes refreshments. Refreshments will be served. And from there, it just gets better. At Genesis, it's all about high quality, no compromises, exquisite hand-picked diamonds that are a cut above what you find at other stores. Genesis gets the first pick of the best of the best when it comes to diamonds. In fact, the ones they reject are very often the ones you'll see in those mega chain stores or online, not the ones you're getting at Giant Genesis. These diamonds are the best GIA certified diamonds at the best prices. These are the real designers, not knockoffs, not some Chinese imitations. These are the real deal. You won't find these at other places. They have been selected by the world's top bridal designers to be authorized retailer, over 4,000 rings to choose from, handcrafted quality rings in every style imaginable. It starts with the best value price. That's true. But that's just the beginning. The quality and the experience are truly what puts Genesis on a whole different level. Genesis Diamonds, official jeweler of both the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats, Shelbyville Road Plaza. I want to bring this up real quick in the minute or two we have before the top of the hour. I spoke with official Nate yesterday because we had some guys. I have no idea why people were losing their mind about the horse collar. But I have to tell you, especially the people who are so adamant that it wasn't a horse collar, this is the official now. So if you want to get mad at him, not me. I asked him, what's the definition of horse collar? Because the guy said to me, take a look at the picture. He's not grabbing, because the old horse collar rule is you had to grab him basically by the shoulder pads. Where the head goes to the shoulder pads, you grab him by that thing there, and you pull him down. And then they changed it, so if you grab him by where his name is on his jersey, that was considered a horse collar. And the guy sent me a text, said, look at the picture. He's grabbing him below the middle of his number. And it's no, end of story. I love him. It's end of story. It's not a horse collar. So I said to Nate, have you seen a picture? He said, well, I can tell you this. I said, what's that? He said, the rule now is it's got nothing to do with where he grabs him. It's if you pull a guy straight backwards, it's a horse collar. That's what they're concerned about. In point of fact, you can actually grab him by the shoulder pad, but if you pull him to the side or you pull him forward, it's not a horse collar. The horse collar definition is pulling a guy straight back, and he does, I think. When I watched it, he gets him directly from the back, grabs him by the jersey, and pulls him straight down. He said, that's the dangerous play. And what? But aside from that, by the way, when I brought it up and said he was injured on a horse collar play, it's the same way as when you say, you know, that in that well, no, because they didn't call it. You know, if a game's decided by a – they won the game because they got the ball on the five-yard line and a pass interference call, and then they made a game-winning field goal. And you go, well, that wasn't pass interference. Okay, I get it. But the fact of the matter is – it is a pass interference call because the official said it was. So he got hurt on a play that was a horse collar. That's how I was defining it, because the officials pulled him down. Well, guy said, well, you getting all self-righteous that, like, well, the guy wasn't quite that forceful, but he said, you know, it shouldn't have happened. Well, yeah, it shouldn't have. It's an illegal play, and the reason it's illegal is because it's dangerous. And that was my whole point. And when I watched that tackle, even though he grabbed him by the jersey, it is a dangerous tackle. And you can say, well, what the hell? It's football. You know, he's trying to tackle him. He is, but you know, you're not allowed to tackle a guy by basically running up and, you know, doing a Jackie Chan and try and kick him in the throat. I'm fairly certain that the officials would frown on that. So you say, well, he was just trying to stop him. I'm exaggerating to make a point. So, yes, it is a shame he got hurt on a play that was illegal. I mean, you get hurt playing football. I get it. But that was the point behind that. And so I asked Nathan, and the rule is, doesn't matter where you grab him, you pull a guy from the back, straight backwards, that's a horse collar. And that's, and you know what? That rule now makes sense to me, because when I said to him he got hurt and how is there a way to prevent it? Well, that's the way, because in the heat of battle, you have a hard time aiming where you're going to tackle a guy. But if you know you're directly behind him and you can't wrap him up, or you can't drive him forward, or you can't get around him and pull him to the side, well, guess what? You can't pull him backwards. It's going to be a penalty. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So that's the definition. So I hope the people who were, I mean, nobody got that rude to me, but they were like adamant that it's not a horse collar. Well, evidently it is. There were some people who said, well, the new rule says it is, and those people were right, but I didn't understand why they were right. But I asked our referee, and he explained it to me. Ask the official. When in doubt, ask Nathan. He does baseball and football. Basketball he leaves to me, but baseball and football, he'll give you the rules interpretation. So that's the rules interpretation. Pull him straight back from behind, horse collar. Illegal. Done. Let's see. What are we going to talk about here? We're going to talk about the V-Cap again. I mean, the V-Stakes coming up, which is... I hit the wrong button again. Here we go. We're going to Finger Lakes, or at least we were trying to go to Finger Lakes, but I once again... Why am I having such trouble with this app today? It's a fabulous app. I don't want to go to Fort Erie. I want to go to Finger Lakes, Nick. Nick, I want to go to Finger Lakes. How do I do that?
Okay.
Why won't it let me go to Finger Lakes?
You go to the little drop-down tab and then go to Finger Lakes. Hey, it took a long time for it to load on my end,
yeah,
too.
Something wiggy's going on. I never have problems with this app.
Because I was clicking it.
I love the
Twin
Spires app.
Clicking it. Clicked it a few more times, and then, yeah, I got it.
All right, we're 10 minutes to post. Your bets are either 2, 4, 5, or 6, because the other ones are all 14 or to 1 or more, so you can take the field, which is three other horses. The 1, the 3, and the 8 are all 14 to 1 or worse, so or higher. So that's the field. If you don't want either the 2, the 4, the 5, or the 6. But if you want those, 2 is Joe Mooch, the 9-5 favorite. 4 is Thirsty Donnerstag. I love that name. 5-2, the 4 horse. The 5 is Deficit Hawk at 5-2, and the 6 is Malbec at 9-2. So get those to us at 437-9680. You send us either the 2, the 4, the 5, or the 6, or the field if you don't want any of those. So there you go. So I'd like to, but I don't have it. Ain't got it. Is everybody hearing that? You're only whispering in my ear? Okay.
Let's see. Just do the read. This is what it sounded like, listeners.
Let's see.
Pick three, my lord.
I don't have any reads here.
Wait. What the hell is all over that one? Cheese?
Somebody spilled coffee on this one. Doesn't matter. It's old, so.
Oh, I love the ASMR. You know, when you make the sound effects onto the microphone.
What's the ASMR? ASMR. What's
I don't know what it stands for, but it's like a new thing. Like it's supposed to be like relaxing sounds right into a microphone or like it helps you
well,
sleep.
Well, I don't think crumbling a piece of paper is relaxing, because if you've ever been to sleep and somebody in the room crumples paper, you're up immediately. Well, that sounds like a little Latin beat. Well, here comes Oswald running out of the back. We're not doing music, Oswald. Calm down. I'll let you know if the commercial's coming back.
Wasn't that a game
up.
We were going to do called Name That Sound?
Yeah, we do that on occasion whenever the mood strikes me, if I find something I think is an odd bit of noise.
Ow.
That's Nick getting hurt. That's an easy one. I'm calling that one. 267-968. Nick getting hurt. But ESPN pushing hard. DirecTV customers, don't lose ESPN. A couple of folks had some bad news today, evidently. Did you see that? I guess Apple Plus, which I don't really understand. This is the new war zone for videos, is the streaming services. And Apple Plus, I guess, is coming on at $4.99 a month. And that's undercutting some other people. And so that
I thought everything was like in the 10 to 20 range.
Yeah,
for streaming
so that
services.
Caused a bunch of other.
Even though only four people actually pay for it and they just share the password with their friends.
That's a bunch of. Some stocks took a. Netflix went down today and another one went down today. Was it Disney maybe? I think it was Disney. Because Disney's making a big push there. You know what's bad though is that since. So few of us, and me included, I mean, I hardly ever watch real TV unless it's a live sporting event, that when you watch these, the ones on apps, whatever they are, Hulu or Netflix or now Disney or whatever, and they have the ones that are, where a commercial is included, it's twice as piss-offable. I mean, unless I absolutely can't live without that product, I almost will deliberately not buy it. Like the new thing on YouTube, because that's how you get paid, is if you post a video and – you know, then you can put ads in it. And so, like, I'm watching, which is okay if it's like a documentary or something. It's only a 30-second ad. I can live with that. But when they do it in the middle of music videos, like, you're just really grooving out to the song. I'm listening to Fats Domino today, a live concert at the New Jazz at New Orleans Heritage and Jazz Hall of Fame concert. And he's bopping along. And, you know, and the guy's in the middle of his sax solo. And then all of a sudden, what is the deal? Are Americans so unable to sleep, or is it just me? Every ad I get is a mattress. Is that just me?
I got to be honest.
Is that because I was looking for a mattress about 3 months ago and the phone
maybe.
Remembers or something?
No,
it's
maybe.
It's unbelievable.
No, they
every
target you. They definitely target you.
Is that for a mattress?
The mattress ads, though, are blank and hilarious, though. I
have
not
all of them.
Oh,
one of them.
My. No. I've seen more humorous mattress ads than I've seen ones that weren't. At least in terms of like YouTube. If it's from that company, Purple, forget about it. If I had the money, I'd buy one right now.
No, what's the other one? It comes in. The girl says, I just got my mattress, so I'm going to open it up and let's go. And she goes and she opens it. And the whole thing sets up. And
Tim, how many have you seen?
Oh, Nick, I'm telling you. It's nauseating. I mean, just get some sleep, people. What the hell is going on out there?
Go talk to our friends at Expert Sleep Medicine. They'll take care of you.
Expert Sleep Medicine. Yeah, that's the
ticket. They gave us some CPAPs. They're really friendly.
You can get a free, you're not free, but you can get a test where you can take it at home.
Oh,
which
that's
is
awesome.
Fantastic. First of all, it's less expensive than if you go to a lab. And if you can take it at home so you don't have to go sleep in that sterile environment, which is not very comfortable, you put this little band around. You don't even know you have it on. And it monitors everything. And boom, then they can tell you what. Sometimes you need a CPAP machine. Sometimes you don't. But either way, they'll advise you on how to get a better night's sleep, which, A, you'll feel better. B, you'll reduce the risk of heart attack or stroke or a whole bunch of other awful calamities that can come your way. And the bad thing is the vast majority of people who have apnea don't even know they have it. So why not go and have them diagnose it for you? It's painless, and it can make a huge, huge difference in your quality of life. It's Expert Sleep Medicine, and they've got a great office right on Shelbyville Road there.
Yeah.
Not far from Trinity High School, as a matter of fact. Right near Equus Jack's, right near your mm-hmm. restaurant. Yeah.
Yep.
So there you go. Guy says, yes, it is because of that. This is the reason I'm getting the ads. For the your cookies. Hey, your cookies. Your cookies, tell them what you've been searching for. It's been months since I did a mattress
search. Did you delete your cookies?
You delete your cookies.
Oh.
Hey, we'll be back. V-Steak's coming up on ESPN 680-1057.